Well, greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour editorial review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabel, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. Now, the Law Hour and editorial review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries around the world over the Internet. Now, for more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and editorial review brings you important information about law, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on diabetes when we come back. Well, 3,300 years ago, Moses instructed our fathers. He said, "You shall not have in your bag diverse weights, a great and a small, and you shall not have in your house diverse measures, a great and a small. But you shall have a perfect and a just weight, a perfect and a just measure shall you have, that your days may be lengthened in the land." Well, our founding fathers at the Constitutional Convention back in 1787 followed this scriptural principle of law when they put into our Constitution at Article 1, Section 10, these 17 words. Listen to this. It says, "No state shall make anything but gold or silver coin a tender in payment of debts." Well, back in 1933, President Roosevelt took our gold away, and in 1964, President Johnson took silver coin out of circulation. In place of these just weights and balances, these two presidents introduced our current practice of the first, the second, and the fifth planks to the Communist Manifesto into our monetary system, and they gave us Federal Reserve notes in place of gold-backed treasury bills and clad coinage in place of silver coin. Now, in the intervening 70 years or so, we Americans have gone from being the world's number one creditor nation until today we're the world's number one debtor nation. Now, who do you think were the better financial planners for our nation? Moses, and our founding fathers are Franklin D. Roosevelt and Lyndon Baines Johnson. Now, if you'd like to learn more about hard money and how to use it properly, it's another of the many classes that I teach here at the law school. This is our business class, and we conduct that twice a year here at the law school. If you'd like to learn more, why don't you call and order my free general law CD package? That's the place to start. It doesn't cost anything. That's a four-hour commentary on the law in general. It's educational. It's informative. It's entertaining. Best of all, it's free. So you can call right now and order yours. The number is 417-273-4967. Now, the business school is also available on compact disc for adult home study. If you're online, you can go to our webpage, georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Just click on the email. Send an email request for your free general law CD package. Again, it's georgegordon.org or call direct 417-273-4967. All right, we've been talking about this thing of diabetes. Diabetes, a fatal disease, just like AIDS, fatal. It just takes a long time to die with it. It's also an autoimmune disease. We see here as we read through these various and sundry articles that diabetes attacks your immune system, It breaks down your pancreas. It causes whatever this disease is. It's the disease itself is the symptoms of the underlying cause of a nutritional overload. It's too much fat in your diet, which seals off the cells so they can't absorb the insulin. That's called insulin resistance. Or it screws up your pancreas, and your pancreas can't produce enough insulin to digest the sugar that's in your veins, in your blood system, bloodstream, in your cell. So it's a nutritional disease, and in this case, it's a disease of auto-intoxication or automatic poisoning. We're poisoning ourselves. Too much protein, too much fat, too much sugar, and particularly the refined sugar. Now, when we look in the Bible by comparison, there's no law that says that there's a limit on how much meat you can eat. But I did point out to you last time that if you eat too much meat, you don't get diabetes, you get gout. Let me assure you. That once you get gout and you've got your feet hurting, if you knew what caused that, it's protein intoxication. You've got too much protein. Just lay off the meat, become a vegetarian for a week or two, and the gout will go away. So if you're a gout sufferer, that's the solution to that problem. But God didn't tell you not to eat the meat. He said don't eat unclean meat. But he did tell you not to eat fat. Fat, F-A-T. Now, I'm not picking on McDonald's here per se, but McDonald's buys their meat, you know, from the meatpacking industry. And the meatpacking industry gets the laws enacted that they need to sell their meat from the legislature, and the legislature has allowed 30% fat by law to go into the hamburger. And so that's what our problem is. It's the fat in the hamburger. It's not the hamburger, the fat in the hamburger. So God gave us two laws, and he said, you shall eat no manner of fat. Twice he told us that, two statutes on fat. It's called the fat law. Very simple and straightforward. It's kind of similar to thou shalt not steal. You know, he told you don't steal from people. He said, don't eat fat. A couple of very direct instructions. Now, of course, we're smarter than God, and so we decided, no, God, you don't understand nutrition and diet, and so we're going to put 30% fat into the hamburger. Now we've got this epidemic of diabetes, and we're trying to figure out what causes it and what you can do to solve the problem. So last time I said we're going to take a look at diet. What should you or what should you not be eating to control or to prevent diabetes? Not everybody gets it, but the people that do get it are obese, that is, they're overweight, and they're grossly overweight. So number one, you got to knock off some pounds. Now, how did you get those pounds on you to start with? Well, looking at this article I read to you last time, there's a doctor here, Dr. Levine, L-A-V-I-N-E. Why, he's a skinny, trim young fella, just looks like a picture of health, and he's a vegetarian. And I asked the question last time. I said, have you ever seen a fat vegetarian? I can't ever remember seeing a fat vegetarian, unless they turned vegetarian after they got fat. No, vegetarians don't get fat because the overweight problem comes from eating fat. Eating fat. So you go to McDonald's and you're eating 30% fat, you know, and you're sucking down Cokes to go along with it, and it doesn't take very long until you become overweight. You know, so pretty simple. If you stop eating fat and stop the consumption of sugar, you know, you shouldn't have any problem knocking off some weight. So you quit going to the fat store, and you stop consuming fat, and you stop going to the sugar store, and you stop consuming sugar, and that'll solve your problem right there. People say, well, I just can't lose weight. My first wife had that problem. She just couldn't lose weight. She couldn't stay out of Burger King. Couldn't stay out of Burger King. Now, I don't deny Burger King makes the best hamburger God ever put on planet Earth, and I really like Burger King hamburgers. You know, slathered with a little Kraft cheese on the top, you know, with the lettuce and tomato, and just great. I don't deny that. Unfortunately, Burger King gets their meat from the same place that McDonald's does, and it's 30% fat. And then Wendy's, of course, they make hot and juicy hamburgers. Well, boys and girls, what do you think that juice is? Huh? Did you think that juice was Pinot Noir? That's fat. Hot and juicy, that's fat. Now, Burger King, they take their fat and they cook it out, and it falls down into the fire and burns. That might be why they're probably a little healthier for you than maybe a grilled hamburger, but they still get 30% fat. Now, tuck away in your heart now that that's against the law. So when you violate that law and diabetes is the result, then you're the cause, as we say in law, the proximate cause of your own injury. You're doing it to yourself. Nobody's sticking a gun to your head and making you eat that fat. Nobody's sticking a gun to your head and making you suck that Coke now. You did that voluntarily. Now, last time we were talking about this thing of soft drinks and kind of running through how much sugar that we're sucking up. Now, I've been into the store a time or two, and once in a while I go in the convenience store to pay for the gas, and I see these big gulps in there, you know, and the 64-ounce, half a gallon of soda pop, and they have it on sale. You can get a lot of it for very little money. But keep in mind that what did he tell us here last time? One 12-ounce can contains 9 teaspoons of sugar. Well, by the time you drink 2 of those, that's a half a cup. You know, that's a quarter of a cup of sugar in one Coke. You drink 2 a day, that's half a cup of sugar. That's 18 teaspoons of sugar from the sugar bowl. Now, diet sodas may be better in terms of calories and added sugar. However, the problem of nutrition remains. If you're substituting diet soda for milk or 100% fruit juice in a balanced diet, then your diet will be deficient in the important nutrients that these foods provide. And most hard to get are calcium and vitamins C and D. All right, now tuck that one away in your heart. The more Coke you drink, the less fruit juice you drink, the less milk you drink. Teenagers are drinking about 27%, a quarter of everything that they drink is in the form of soda pop. Well, if they're drinking 1/4 in soda pop, then they're not drinking much milk. Now, that's not necessarily bad for you city people because that milk is a killer. I'm not sure whether pasteurized milk is a bigger killer than soda pop or not. But it's almost like saying, well, should I take arsenic or strychnine? I'm not quite sure which is the one that's going to kill you the fastest. Now, if you're worried about the health effects of artificial sweeteners and soda, the FDA has given its stamp of approval to the following. They've got one here called sulfame, potassium, aspartame, and saccharin, as well as sucralose. Some consumers are wary of these sweeteners, but there are no known health side risks associated with moderate consumption. And there's one exception for aspartame, people with the rare genetic condition called, and I won't try to tell you what that is. Well, I'm going to take exception with this author right here. If you're worried about the health effects of this aspartame over here, this is what causes Gulf War syndrome. You know that Gulf War problem? This aspartame, these artificial sugar sweeteners over here, have some chemical compounds. One of them is, see if I remember the name of it now, wood alcohol. There's a name for that wood alcohol, but contains that wood alcohol. And when it gets heated over 86 degrees, it comes to the fore. And, of course, they ship that stuff over there to Saudi Arabia, and it's out in 120-degree heat. And then they cool it off, and now you got the wood alcohol. These guys drank it, and they come back home, and they've got these syndromes now. I did a series of programs. If you'll take a look here in our archives on aspartame, just take a look at aspartame there, and I'll give you the facts and figures on that. If you want to drink Diet Coke, you know, don't let me get in the way of your happiness and success, but there are some things about this diet sweetener that you probably ought to know about. It's kind of like drinking water out of the tap, you know. There's some things that are in that water, you know, that maybe you ought to know about. And then make a decision, do I really want to drink this water out of the tap? I wouldn't tell you not to. I wouldn't drink it. I don't drink it. I take my water with me when I travel. And many people, I don't know if most, but many people pay about $9 a gallon to buy bottled water. You can get a little cheaper than that, but you know, Some people are complaining about gasoline being $3 a gallon. Well, you know, those of us that buy water, we go into the store there to pay for the gasoline, and we buy water. We pay $9 a gallon for the water. Nobody's complaining about $9 a gallon for water. When I was a kid, if you'd have paid for water, we'd have thought you're crazy. Today, people buy bottled water every day. It's normal. It's necessary. So, you know, we're poisoning ourselves in a number of ways. We poison ourselves with the tap water, and we put fluoride and chlorine in that. And then we poison ourselves with soda pop by putting in sugar, refined sugar. And we poison ourselves when we go into the restaurant by eating fat. I mean, you know, there's so many toxins and so many poisons that you're sticking into your body over here. That's one of the causes of cancer and ill health. And then the other side of the coin is we're not getting enough nutrients. I mean, if you're drinking soda pop, then you're not drinking other foods like juice from the food bar, or the juice bar. So you get this double whammy. You get all these foodless foods with calories that don't satisfy your cravings for hunger. And then you turn around and keep eating more and more and more and more, trying to satisfy your cravings. Now, let me tell you what hunger caused by hunger. It's a shortage of minerals. Just test it. Let me show you. You want to test this theory? Next time that you're hungry for a banana, you know, there's times when you're hungry for a banana and there's times when you're not. Well, bananas contain a lot of potassium. And so when your body is short of potassium, you look at a banana and say, God, that really looks good. Let me have that. And so you eat this banana. Now, if you're kind of normal, you eat a banana, and that's satisfying. No, don't stop there. Eat a second banana. And maybe you could eat two bananas. Okay, don't stop there. Eat a third banana. If you can get a third banana down, write me and let me know that, would you? Send me an email and say, I can eat three bananas. If you can eat three, can you eat four? You know, bananas aren't very big, but I'll guarantee you, by the time you eat that second banana, if you're anywhere near normal, and you eat that second banana, you're going to say, you know, I don't want any more bananas. I'm full. I'm out of here. And that's because that banana is full of potassium. The potassium now is starting to leach out into your stomach, and it's being digested, and it sends a signal up to you. It says, hey, I'm full. Don't send me any more. All right, now let's try it again. Next time you're hungry, you sit down and you eat a York peppermint patty, and then eat a second one, and a third one, and a fourth one, and a fifth one. I don't think there's any limit to how many York peppermint patties you can eat. I don't think there's any limit to how many Hershey bars you can eat. You sit there and just stuff your face. And okay, so you eat three or four candy bars and you're full. Now, just stay on candy all day. Don't eat anything else. Just eat candy. Now, just try that with bananas and see how many bananas you can eat in a day and how many candy bars you can eat in a day. Every time you're hungry, eat a Hershey bar. And then count them. Mark them down. And I'll just guarantee you that at the end of the day, you can eat 10, 15, 20 candy bars and you'll still be hungry at the end of the day. And you eat two bananas, you're not going to be hungry. So when you're eating food that has vitamins and minerals in it, it will satisfy your hunger, and then you don't need to eat more. Now, unless you're like a cigarette smoker. I remember I used to smoke cigarettes, and you finish eating, you got to smoke a cigarette. That's a habit. And it may be that you've got a habit. You know, eating is a habit. So it's kind of like having a pack of cigarettes in your left shirt pocket. It's kind of like peanuts in his blanket, you know, Linus in his blanket. You got to have this comfort zone. And a smoker has to have that pack of cigarettes up there. And I suppose some people just have to have that package of potato chips or that package of this or that or something else to snack on. You know, but once you get over that snacking over there, it's not caused by hunger. It's caused by nervous addiction. If you want to get over the hunger over here, you start eating real food. If you're eating snack foods, you can snack on the snack foods until hell freezes over and never be satisfied. You're eating lots of calories, but you're always hungry. You ever notice that? You people that are overweight, you're always hungry, and you're never satisfied because you never eat real food. Now, you go to the juice bar, and you drink that juice, and you're going to say, oh, my God, I don't think I can choke that down. I know, and go slow on it because your body is going to get too much nutrition. I say over nutrified. I'm looking for an adjective there, but you're going to get too many vitamins and minerals in there. And you remind me of a guy one time. He's out behind the bus inhaling the exhaust, and I said to him, "What are you doing?" He says, "I'm from Los Angeles, and I need a hit." You know, maybe you've been in the smog for so long. You know, you get up in the mountains and you start breathing fresh air. You know, you got to go behind the bus and take a couple of hits off the exhaust pipe. Going on here with nutrition. Other negatives are linked to soda pop, caffeine. Many sodas contain caffeine, colas and non-colas alike. Caffeine is not only addictive, but it can also cause adverse reactions such as insomnia, irritability, and racing heartbeat. Research at Johns Hopkins University examining the difference in consumption of caffeinated versus non-caffeinated sodas show that consumption is driven by the mood-altering and physical dependence of caffeine. To avoid the withdrawal symptoms, similar to symptoms of excess by tapering down slowly, and then begin by replacing one of your regular caffeinated sodas with a non-caffeinated soda every day for 4 days, and then replace the non-caffeinated soda with an equal amount of clear, pure water. Now go easy, boys and girls, on that clear, pure water. You're like a heroin addict coming off, you know. For variety, you can try sodium-free club soda, and then add a squeeze of lime and or lemon. Eventually, you'll wean yourself off the sugary stuff, and you'll feel so much better. Avoid the added caffeine drinks like Coca-Cola's Surge or Pepsi's Josta. Mountain Dew contains 55 milligrams of caffeine per 12-ounce can. Sunkist has 40, Coke 45, Pepsi 37, Sprite 0. No caffeine in Sprite. I had a guy here one time, he was a Mountain Dew guy, and he was kind of funny. He bought Mountain Dew in the 2-liter bottles, and he had a coffee cup. And he'd go get on the tractor, and he'd be out there working. He always had this coffee cup in his hand, you know. I thought he was drinking coffee. No, he was drinking Mountain Dew. And he bought this Mountain Dew in these 2-liter bottles. And one day he said he was out of Mountain Dew, and I said, well, he wasn't out yet, but he said he was going to run out of Mountain Dew by noon, and that he hadn't been to the store and didn't buy any, and he needed some right away. And I said, well, fine, I'll tell the wife, and the next time she goes to town, I'll have her pick you up some. How much do you want? And he said, oh, no, you don't understand. I got to have it right now. That was about 9 o'clock in the morning. I said, right now? You've got to have Mountain Dew? Yeah. He said, I'm going to run out. You know, I'm on my last bottle right now. I'm going to run out by noon. I got to have it right now. I thought he's kidding. He wasn't kidding. Mountain Dew is so addictive that this guy was like a heroin addict. You talk about a smoker run out of weeds, you know. No, this guy ran out of Mountain Dew. And we got to talking about that, and I said, well, how long have you been on this Mountain Dew? And he said, oh, hell, about 10, 15 years. And he said, I tried to quit. I've tried to quit several times. I know I'm addicted to it. He said, but I can't. I can't quit Mountain Dew. I got to have it. And he was right. I never saw that guy without that cup in his hand. Never. He had that cup in his hand. He never went out on the job anywhere. He didn't have that cup of Mountain Dew with him. And so I just want to tell you, boys and girls, you know, soda pop is addictive. Sugar is a drug. Refined white sugar is a drug, and you're addicted to that drug. And you just try it. You know, if you want to say to me, I'm not addicted to soda pop, good. Just quit for 30 days. You people that are addicted to soda pop, you can't quit that soda pop cold turkey for 30 days. And if you think you can, just give it a test. You're addicted to soda pop just like smokers are addicted to nicotine, just like heroin addicts are addicted to heroin. And it's killing you. That's the bottom line. It's killing you. Now, tooth decay, the link between sugary soda pop and cavities has been well documented, but worse is the acids in this soda. I mentioned that to you the other day. Acid. In fact, you just look on a can of Coke, and it'll tell you acid this, acid that, and acid something else. Now, if you want to test Coca-Cola, take it and pour it into a glass, and just stick a nail in it. Let it sit there for 3 weeks, and then come back and take a look at that nail. That's what it's doing to your teeth. It'll do to your teeth the same thing it's doing to that nail, just eating it up. Now, both colas and non-colas, canned iced teas, and even diet drinks also can weaken and erode tooth enamel. The malic, that's malic acid, tartaric acid, citric acid, and phosphoric acids that impart familiar flavors corrode the tooth's protective enamel, coating the calcium, or rather drawing the calcium out of your tooth enamel. Sodas and flavored teas are tougher on enamel than plain brewed tea, coffee, and root beer. So the next time you know you go into the get and go and you say, well, I think I'll just drink tea. All right, tuck that one away in your heart. Why don't you just try water? It costs $9 a gallon, but it's a hell of a lot better for your health. Just plain water. Now there's osteoporosis. Drinking soda can lead to excess consumption of phosphorus, which can lead to the depletion of bone calcium. This is especially worrisome to women. In a study of 460 high school students, girls who drank the most soda had 3 to 4 times the risk of bone fracture compared to those who drank none. Physically active girls were at the higher end of the risk ratio. Women are more prone to osteoporosis and need calcium to build their bones, especially before age 25, and they need to keep their bones strong after menopause. And soda displaces intake of calcium-rich milk and calcium-fortified milk substitutes. This also increases the risk for broken bones. Well, you know, I can't let that pass by. Calcium-rich milk. Who the hell wrote this? Has this guy got any credentials? Let me look at this guy here. John McGrane. E-Diets Editor-in-Chief. No, he's safe. He's all right. Yeah, if a doctor said this, I'd say, you know, this guy's a lying sack of you know what. But he says here that, talking about nutrients over here, that the sodas displace the calcium in milk. Boys and girls, calcium-rich milk is a fiction. Let me repeat that. Calcium-rich milk is a fiction. It is true that milk contains a lot of calcium. But the calcium is only available to your body if it has the digestive enzyme in the milk to digest it. So we pasteurize the milk. Madison Avenue is not lying to you when they say that the milk you're buying in the store from Mid-America Dairies is just loaded with calcium. They're telling you the truth. It's loaded with calcium. But the calcium is unavailable to your body, and your body can't digest it, can't assimilate it, and can't use it without that enzyme. Drinking pasteurized milk is like drinking horse urine. Now, there, said my little piece. Now, obesity. The British medical journal Lancet reported evidence linking soft drink consumption to childhood obesity. And studies showed that 12-year-olds who drank soft drinks regularly were almost double, twice as likely to be overweight than those who didn't. Just drinking one can a day equals more than 1,000 excess calories per week. If you're trying to lose weight, just cutting out the soda for 3 weeks will allow you to lose about 1 pound. Now stretch that out over a year, it means a 16-pound loss. Okay, so now that tells us a little something. Let's suppose you weigh 250 pounds, partner, and you drink soda pop. Well, you know, that those pounds, you know, all that fat that you're carrying around, nobody snuck up, you know, some night, you know, and painted that on you. You put every one of those pounds on by sticking it right through that hole under your lip. You ate all of that. So you're the proximate cause of your own injury. So if you weigh 250 pounds, 250, and then let's just do this for a year. Take off 16 pounds. You should be down to 234 pounds in 1 year by just eliminating the soda pop. Now, that is special. Let's try that one again. The second year, just 16. Take you down to 218 pounds in the second year. Now you weigh 250 pounds and you're overweight. In 2 years, you can be down to 218. Now, if you're a man, 218 pounds shouldn't be too bad, unless you're 5'2". You know, if you're 5'10" or 6', you know, 218 pounds ought to be just about right. If it isn't, just try it one more time, one more year. No soda pop for the third year, 16. That should take you down to about 202 pounds, shouldn't it? And should be down to 200 pounds in 3 years from 250 by just knocking off the soda pop. Now, I'd say that's worth doing, don't you? All right, now this takes us down here to diabetes. Diabetes type 2 is closely correlated with obesity. In 2002, nearly 18.2 million Americans had diabetes. Diabetes is an epidemic. The number of victims has nearly doubled from 1990 to 2002. So in 12 years, the number of victims to diabetes has doubled. So that means it doubles every 12 years. Well, let's take, what we got here, 18 million diabetics in 2002. So if we take 2002 and then just add 12 years to that, by the year 2014, we should have 36 million diabetics. Then let's just add another 12 to that. By the year 2026, we should have 72 million if it doubles every 12 years. Now, that's growing by geometric progression. I mentioned to you the other day, the amount of soda pop consumption doubled in the last 20 years, and so has diabetes doubled in the last 20 years. Is there a correlation there? So, tuck it away in your heart. Now, I'm not down on soda pop. I said, you know, if you drink a soda pop once a month, you know, I think you can probably get away with that. Drinking two a day, children, I don't think you're going to get away with that. So, the number of Americans consuming sugar-free products increased from less than 70 million in 87 to 160 million in 2000. During the same period, the consumption of regular soft drinks increased by more than 15 gallons per person. The latest in marketing schemes for soda manufacturers is called hybrid sodas. They try to have it both ways by sweetening both with sugar and artificial sweeteners. Less sugar in soda means fewer calories. And for those who dislike artificial sweeteners, it may be more acceptable to have less. The problem of nutrient displacement remains, as soda pop still pales in comparison nutritionally to milk and 100% fruit juice. Water remains the gold standard for thirst quenchers. I'm going to underline that for you. Water remains the gold standard for thirst quenchers. Nothing that quenches your thirst, as does water. And if you drink a half a gallon of water a day, you could probably eliminate your asthma. There's a number of other allergies and asthma. I'll have to do a program on this guy. His name is Revy Batra. He called himself Batman. He was locked up for a period of time over in Iran. Yeah, he's a convicted felon. He was a doctor, and he got crosswise with the government, so they convicted him, threw him in prison for a few years. While he was in prison, he didn't have his medical bag. He didn't have any drugs. He didn't have jack squat. And prisoners, you know, would come to him and say, hey, Doc, what am I? I'm sick. Well, Doc, what am I going to do about that? And so he said, well, you need water for that and water for that. And he points out in his book that there's about 15 or 20 diseases that are directly associated with a lack of water. It's just dehydration. What the symptom is telling you is that you're dehydrated. And so when you're thirsty, you're dehydrated, you drink another Coke, but that doesn't put any water in the cells out at the end of your finger. Drinking Coke does not put water into your body. It puts urine into your bladder. That's what Coke does. Puts urine into your bladder. Doesn't put water into your cells. And that's what's causing your disease. And let me give you a reminder here, and we'll continue on with this thing of diet and diabetes when we come back. Now you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide over the Internet. Now, if you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org. Remember, the Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults and compact disc. If you'd like more information, just go to the homeschooling page. The law website is updated every week. It has our radio log schedule and archives, and it can be accessed through the webpage. The law hour is carried worldwide over the internet, and all of these law hour programs are archived on the internet by title and date for your listening convenience. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest, and the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, news, and current events 7 days a week. The law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order one. The number to call, 417-273-4967. Again, the CD package, just call 417-273-4967. It's free of charge. Now, the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They do not necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of our advertisers, sponsors, management, or staff of this network or local radio station. And if you'd like more information about the law and editorial review, please remember our website, georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about diabetes. Diabetes and its relationship with soda pop and Coca-Cola. Keep in mind now that Coca-Cola tastes great. I'm not opposed to good-tasting drinks and good-tasting food. In fact, it tastes so good that we've become addicted to the stuff. It's like old Doc Sansoni said to me, he said, God, you're going to like this stuff. He gave me a shot of morphine. I was in the hospital. He gave me a shot of morphine. Kill the pain, you know. He said, hey, that hurts. How's that feel? I said, it hurts like hell. He said, okay, well, we'll give you a painkiller over here. He comes in a little while later. He says, I'm going to give you this morphine. We're going to give you so much. And he warned me. He said, this is where heroin addicts are made, right here in the hospital. We give them morphine when they come into the hospital, and they like it so well when they get out of the hospital, they start looking for a supplier out on the street. And out on the street, they call that heroin. Now, the same thing is true here. We've become sugar addicted. We're addicted to refined sugar. It's a drug. Tastes real good. You're going to like this. I remember the first time I ever drank a Coke was in the Brass Rail in Blue Lake, California, 4 or 5 years old, sitting on the bar stool with my daddy. He'd drinking beer, and he didn't want to leave me out of it, so he ordered me a Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola. God, I thought that was the greatest stuff since sliced white bread. It's just like giving me morphine. God, I was hooked. I mean, just one Coke, and I was hooked. Well, I'm no different than anybody else, and you people are hooked on Coke just like I was. Now, I kicked the Coke habit, and I kicked soda pop. I used to be called the Pepsi kid. I never did care much for beer and booze. It tastes bad. Just compare it. Just pour yourself three fingers of Jack Daniels in one glass and three fingers of Pepsi in another, and just taste them. And I'm just telling you, that Pepsi is going to outdo that Jack Daniels about 10 to 1. It just tastes better. So I used to drink Pepsi-Cola, called me the Pepsi kid. Everybody else is ordering drinks, and I'm ordering Pepsi. Everybody else is ordering martinis and screwdrivers. And here I'm drinking Pepsi-Cola. Well, it tastes real good, and I got hooked on it. Hell, I'm drinking lots of it. I don't know that it was necessarily deleterious to my health, but I'm sure it didn't do me any good. But then one day, I woke up to the fact that, hey, look, I think I'm kind of hooked on this stuff. I found out about its health effects, and so I quit. Now, once in a while, I drink one. Once in a while, I'll drink a root beer. Now, once in a while, I'll even take a root beer float with that bad ice cream, Haagen-Dazs. Just because food's bad doesn't mean you can't tolerate a little of it. Your body can take a lot of poison into it, and it can dispose of it. And I like chocolate, and so once in a while, I'll indulge in a chocolate. So let me give you a recommendation. Never eat a Hershey bar. That's called cheap chocolate. That's like drinking cheap wine. Hershey bar is like drinking cheap wine. You got to drink good stuff. If you're going to drink wine, drink Cabernet Sauvignon. Go out and pay $25 and buy a good bottle of wine. And when you're drinking it, you can savor the flavor. Do the same thing with chocolate. You go into the Godiva chocolate store. It costs you $6 for a chunk of chocolate. And let me tell you, kids, when you pay $6 for a chunk of chocolate, you ain't going to eat too much of it. So you eat a couple pieces of chocolate every month. When I go to Springfield, I like to go into the Battlefield Mall, go into the chocolate store, and I go into the sugar store and I have a piece of chocolate and indulge myself a little bit. It'll probably take my body about 3 days to digest all that sugar and get rid of it. Once in a while, you can do that. But this thing of sip, sip, sip all day long, it's got to stop. That's the bottom line. So water remains the gold standard for quenching your thirst. Now, there's another little story over here that I wanted to share with you. Let me flip this one over here on the I Told You So pile. When we talk about diet, there's a piece that's put out here, copyright. Let's see if I've got this. Alternative Medicine Review. And it's put out by a guy named Gregory S. Kelly, ND. Now, that's called a naturopathic doctor. And it's titled Insulin Resistance, Lifestyle and Nutritional Interventions. Let me give you the introduction here. And then I'm going to get into the nitty-gritty, because I said I'm going to tell you what to eat. A naturopath doesn't prescribe insulin. If you go to a naturopathic doctor, like Luke, the physician, see, you've got medical doctors. Those are called allopathic medical doctors. Those are the drug dealers. Those are the guys that give you morphine. Those are the guys that give you insulin. Those are the guys that have the real stuff. All right. There's another physician out here like Luke. You know, you got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Well, Luke was a physician. He was a naturopathic doctor. Now, a naturopath is a guy that works with diet. Now, you could call him a nutritionist, but nutritionists don't have the real fingers on the pulse of what specific herbs will cure a specific symptom. Like, for instance, let's suppose that you've got scurvy or beriberi, you know, you've got some nutritional disease. And then you go to a nutritionist. Well, most people would know that if you've got scurvy, you need vitamin C, so they would recommend that you do this or that. Eat oranges, and they'll probably cure your scurvy. That's what the British Navy did. They called their sailors limeys because to prevent scurvy, they gave their sailors a lime every day. So the ship sets out to sea, and they've got limes on the ship, and they give this lime to the sailor, and he gets the vitamin C that he needs to prevent scurvy. But the ND, the naturopathic doctor, he's a little more skilled than that. You could come to this naturopath and you could have something really bad wrong with you, you know, like cancer. And instead of prescribing a mastectomy, the naturopathic doctor would say, okay, you got a lump in your breast, lady, and that's cancer, and we need to eliminate that lump in your breast. So what we're going to do is we're going to take you off of soda pop and sugar and fat, and we're going to put you on juice. And so he would recommend that you start with a Walker juicer. It doesn't have to be a Walker. That's what we happen to have. And there's other brands of juicers out there. But we get our Walker juicer, and we would take some carrots, and we'd run through the juicer and drink a glass of carrot juice. We'd take wheatgrass. We would juice wheatgrass, and we'd drink that. And what that does is that puts a concentrated dose of vitamins or minerals or a combination of the two into your body. Now, if you want a massive dose of vitamin A, you drink carrot juice. If you want a massive dose of calcium, you juice wheatgrass or barley grass or lamb's quarter. And for instance, lamb's quarter contains three times as much calcium as does spinach. So if I wanted a heavy dose of calcium, the naturopathic doctor, you know, he'd look at me and he'd look at my symptoms and he'd say, well, you're short of vitamin A, you're short of this mineral, you're short of this or that or something else. Now, there's a guy by the name of Joel Wallach. You've got to write this name down, Dr. Joel Wallach. You can probably get him off the webpage. I don't have his address right here in front of me, but just look up Dead Doctors Don't Lie on Google or Joel Wallach. He's a medical doctor, but first and foremost, he's a veterinarian. And he puts out a food supplement program, just like Richard Schultz does and others. And he points this out. He says, you know, when a cow gets sick, we don't give her a mastectomy. You know, when a cow gets cancer, we don't cut off her udder. We cure the cancer by giving her the nutrients that she needs to cure the mastitis or the cancer. So a naturopathic doctor treats you holistically. What we're after is the cancer. We're not after your breasts, lady. We're after the cancer in the breast, and so we're going to eliminate that. So this Gregory S. Kelly, MD, and this is called the Alternative Medicine Review, Volume 5, Number 2. And if he's the associate editor, and he's in private practice in Greenwich, Connecticut, Greenwich, Connecticut. And he has a correspondence address. It's 56 Lafayette Place, Suite C, Greenwich, Connecticut, 06830. I'll give him a plug here. 56 Lafayette Place, Lafayette Place, Suite C, Greenwich, Connecticut, 06830. Now, I'm pretty sure we pulled this off the web, but I don't see a web site here, so I'm just going to give you his address, giving credit, you know, for his work here. And let me share with you his thinking here concerning this thing of diabetes, because if I had diabetes, if I went to a medical doctor, they took a blood test, you got diabetes, I'd say, thanks, doc, I needed that, here's your money, and I'd get the hell out of there as fast as I could, and I would beat it down to my local naturopath. And you may be able to find one in your state. There are 8 states in the union that still license naturopathic physicians. And then you'll probably find a bunch more on the black market that are not licensed, bonded, or insured. And that's the guy you want to look for. And if you can't find one of those, then you need to do it by correspondence. And there's a guy in California by the name of Richard Schultz. He's a student of Dr. Christopher. Dr. Christopher is probably the foremost name in naturopathy in America. He was an herbalist. And when you get sick, remember, you've got a nutritional deficiency or you've got toxins. So you need to get the poisons out of your body and the nutrients in. And the best way to do that is through the guidance and help of a naturopathic physician. Stay away from the drugs and get on to nutrients. Now, that's what I do. That's what I suggest. And it's better if you can avoid it. You know, if you could avoid getting diabetes, you know, you'd be money ahead. But, you know, most of you can't do that. You've got to have your sugar and fat. But at some point in time, it's going to come back and bite you in the butt. And when it does, and you've run out all your options now, tuck this one away in your heart, now you need somebody that can heal you, not treat you, not give you a therapy, but heal you. And that's called the ND. Now, insulin resistance, he says, appears to be a common feature and a possible contributing factor to several frequent health problems, including type 2 diabetes. In addition, polycystic ovary disease, dyslipidemia, hypertension, cardiovascular disease, sleep apnea, certain hormone-sensitive cancers, and obesity. Modifiable factors thought to contribute to insulin resistance include diet, exercise, smoking, and stress. Lifestyle intervention to address these factors appears to be a critical component of any therapeutic approach. The role of nutritional and botanical substances in the management of insulin resistance requires further elaboration. However, available information suggests some substances are capable of positively influencing insulin resistance. Underline that, children. That is positively influencing insulin resistance. What does that? Botanical substances. There are botanical substances. There are vitamins and minerals and other things that come from certain foods. Now, let's suppose that they took a look at you and says, oh my God, you're deficient in vitamin A. They would prescribe, this naturopathic physician would prescribe for you some kind of a vegetable or fruit or nutrient that would have high concentrations of vitamin A, kind of like carrots. And he would say, now, you go down here to the health food store and you buy 50 pounds of carrots. And you take 5 pounds of those carrots at each setting and you peel them. And then you run them through your juicer. And then you drink a glass of that juice 3 times a day. And that will cure your vitamin A deficiency and your symptoms will go away. All right. Now, that's what the guy's going to do for you. Now, there's another way to do this. You know, you got a lump in your breast and you got cancer over here. You can cut your breast off, lady. That'll cure the cancer. Now, for those of you that don't want to cut off your left breast because you've got cancer, you might want to consider something else first. Because by the time you get on chemotherapy and you've impaired your immune system, tuck this away in your heart. Once you've impaired your immune system, you don't need the naturopathic physician because he can't help you anymore because he's going to use your immune system. He's going to give you nutrients that's going to strengthen your immune system, and your immune system is going to kill the cancer. There is no better disease fighter than your body's immune system. In fact, all disease has to be cured by your body's immune system, or it's not going to be cured. Doctors don't build immune systems. Doctors destroy immune systems. Naturopaths build immune system. Tuck it away. Minerals such as magnesium, calcium, potassium, zinc, chromium, and vanadium appear to have associations with insulin resistance or its management. Oh my God. Minerals such as magnesium, calcium, potassium, zinc, chromium, and vanadium appear to have associations with insulin resistance. Now, Dr. Joel Wallach came to the same conclusion years ago. He says, you know, when a cow gets sick, you know, we don't send her to the hospital and start operating on her. We start looking for nutrient deficiencies to find out, well, what is this cow lacking in? And then we give her that nutrient. So what we do for cattle to give them the minerals, we give them a mineral block. And so the cow's walking down the lane, you know, going back to the pasture. And so she stops by the mineral block and she takes a few licks and she walks on down the road. So every day she gets a little mineral. If she's short of any minerals that she's not getting in her feed, she licks off the mineral block. So Joel Wallach said, just go down to your local feed store and buy a mineral block. Put it on the dining room table. And then when members of the family are walking through the dining room, the members of the family should just lean over and take 4 or 5 licks off the mineral block and it'll go about their business. And you can eliminate mineral deficiency in humans that way. Just tuck it away in your heart. Get a mineral block, put it on the dining room table as you walk by, take 5 licks every time you walk by it, and you won't have a mineral deficiency. Now you're sitting there saying, this guy Gordon's got to be nuts. Well, normal people don't want to lick on the mineral block that everybody else has been licking on, so we have to get our minerals in a different form. So why don't we think about getting our minerals out of the foods that we eat? There's no vitamin A. Just take a look at the nutrient content on a can of Coke. It's right on the can. It says nutrient content. It'll say carbohydrates, and it'll say sugar and one thing and another. And take a look at the vitamins and minerals. I mean, what are you getting out of this can of Coke? You're getting a bunch of calories and no vitamins and no minerals. Like I said, the stuff tastes good. You ought to indulge yourself once a month. You ought to walk in, buy a can of Coke, sit down, enjoy it. You know, once a month, that'd be 12 cans a year. Probably double what you ought to be drinking, but, you know, give it a try. Go into the sugar store and buy yourself a Godiva chocolate. I mean, you know, all of us have to be indulged from time to time. But don't do it every day. Don't do it every week. Don't do it constantly or consistently. Meanwhile, if you're sick and you're starting to show symptoms over here, then you need some help. And you need help in the way of magnesium, calcium, potassium, zinc, chromium, and vanadium. Amino acids, including L-carotene, taurine, and L-arginine, might also play a role in the reversal of insulin resistance. Other nutrients, including glutathione, whatever the hell that is, and coenzyme Q10. Here comes that CoQ10 again. So here's your naturopath. He says, hey, we need to put a little CoQ10 in here. And lipoic acid also appear to have therapeutic potential. Research on herbal medicines for the treatment of insulin resistance is limited. However, silymarin produced positive results in diabetic patients with alcoholic cirrhosis and inula racemosa potentiated insulin sensitivity in an animal model. potentiated. Had a positive effect, I think would be a better term for us truck drivers. All right, now there's his introduction. Next time we'll take this up and we'll go through some of the actual foods. You know, what is it that you actually buy and eat when we're talking about diet? And then he'll tell you, here's what you want to be taking and here's what you want to be avoiding. And this naturopath, he comes right along with the medical doctors and says, hey, avoid fat and avoid refined sugar. Work harder, you need more exercise, and lose weight. I know you're sitting there saying, yeah, I've heard this before. Okay, but there are certain factors in here, and we'll cover this in the last series or last program. What is it that you physically do to cure this? And so I wanted to start off by saying you probably are going to need some help. Most people cannot get off of insulin, cannot treat diabetes without help. So you're either going to go to the medical doctor. He wants to sell you insulin. Now, remember, he's the insulin salesman. And once you get on it, you're hooked, just like heroin. And, of course, McDonald's, they want to sell you fat. And Hershey's want to sell you chocolate. And the restaurant wants to sell you a steak. Everybody's out here to sell you something. You got to be smart enough over here to say, well, this is what I want to buy. And if you want to buy good health, well, then you're going to have to stop the refined sugar. And if you say, well, I don't want to give up refined sugar forever and ever and ever, like I told you about that one, drink a Coke once a month. Go into Godiva and have a chocolate once a month. But don't do it every day. And if you say, well, I've just got to do it every day, then you just have to have diabetes. You know, that's just the way life is. I just have to have diabetes. I cannot control my foot on the accelerator. Then you just have to pay the speeding tickets. That's all. Make up your mind to it. Now, some of us can control our foot on the accelerator. Some of us can control what we stick into our mouths. And if you're one of those that think you might be able to do that, next time on the Law Hour and Editorial Review, we'll go through Dr. Kelly's regimen on diet. Meanwhile, back on the farm, let me remind you that you have been listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review, sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide over the Internet. And if you'd like more information about the law school and the Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals by prearrangement. Remember, the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours. Just call us at 417-273-4967. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. Time's up. We've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, and good night, friends.